This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, how are you? How was your weekend? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Got a friend staying at my house this weekend. And, I'll say this weekend, today and tomorrow. But other than that, doing pretty good. Working, nothing exciting. How about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend is good. A friend of ours, who actually also listens to the show, had their birthday. So we took them out for a birthday celebration in Nashville. We went to dinner at a nice Mexican restaurant. And then we went to a bar called Old Glory here in Nashville. And they had fire dancers and aerial acts and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was funny because I was like, hey, dude, like we rented this for you because he'd never been downtown before. So I was trying to convince him that we had, you know, paid the money to have a fire dancer and a, you know, aerial dance artist for his birthday. But I'm a little over the budget, but he definitely had a good time.
Well, that sounds like a really good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And in chicken news, I have something a little sad to report. I know people are invested in the chicken, so I thought I would share.
So what's going on with this chicken? She's okay?
Yeah, we think she's okay. So Kara had noticed her kind of running with a group of other chickens, like on the corner. Real like Jets and Sharks kind of thing. Like she had joined up with a gang. And the last couple of nights she has not been coming back. So, you know, she was started off being in our backyard every day and then was, you know, sleeping on the playhouse and then kind of got into what seemed like a teenager phase where she would leave during the day, but then come back at night. And now, you know, what it seems like is she's kind of found her people and she's out, you know, probably getting tattoos and doing whatever with these other chickens. So we've missed her.
AKA she went home.
Yeah. We've missed her. But you know, it's just, you know, a little rough. We got the new puppy and then all of a sudden the chicken was gone. So,
You don't think Snowball had anything to do with that?
No, cause Bradley used to chase her around too and didn't have any problems. You know, the chicken's a lot faster, so it's not, you know, she's not getting caught, but
it takes one little cluck cluck and they'll leave her alone.
Yeah. So we're thinking that, you know, she, like I said, she just, you know, they're like, you want to run with us? You want to be, you know, one of the clucks or whatever? And she was like, yeah. And then they accepted her in and she's been, you know, running with them. So, you know, we wish her the best.
Girl gang. Yeah. Good luck, chicken.
I know. We hope to see her soon. We miss Chicoletta, but we've had some people reach out on Instagram and be like, what's up with the chicken? You haven't talked about the chicken. So I figured I'd give an update.
She's out right now. She's on vacation.
Yeah, and she knows she's always welcome back home. You know, she's always welcome here for sure. But I do digress, so I could talk about chickens and puppies and stuff like that all day. But this week is your case. This is actually episode 99. We're one episode away from 100 full Monday episodes of Check the Lock. So
that's a lot of pressure for you next week.
Yeah, I mean, you
know. Glad it's you, not me.
Right. But this week is your week. And if I understand correctly from glancing at your notes, we're going international. What are we doing this week?
We are. So, you know, we dive into a new case, but this week we're taking a deep dive into New Zealand. Ever been?
I have not, but from what I understand, that's where the Trail to Mordor is. So,
never been either, but it's on my bucket list. I don't know what the Trail to Mordor is, but I'm assuming it's probably some sort of sci-fi movie reference.
It's like from Lord of the Rings, which I'm not a big Lord of the Rings person, but I know I do know they filmed like most of those movies there.
So, yeah. It's beautiful. It's on the list of places to go.
Yeah, where a hobbit can be a hobbit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But this week we're talking about Grace Mullane, who was a 21-year-old girl who grew up in Essex. She had recently graduated from the University of London, where she received a bachelor's degree in advertising and marketing. She planned to take a year backpacking before starting off her career. Now, Grace started her trip by spending 6 weeks in South America. She was constantly documenting her journey and sending texts to her parents. Her next stop was a 2-week stay in New Zealand, where she would celebrate her 22nd birthday. She would arrive on November 18th, 2018. She started her adventure in the Upper North Island. Then she made her way to Auckland on November 30th. She continued to take pictures and keep up with her family regularly. Grace used a dating app called Tinder to meet people during her travels. You heard of that one, John?
Tinder? What's that?
What's Tinder? Yes.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I bet in like 2018, it probably wasn't as popular as it is right now. Like, I feel like it's been around for a while, but it's like gotten kind of bigger and bigger. And I think is used now more so as like, I don't know. I remember Tinder being, when it came out, being very much like Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Like, I do you remember when Snapchat first came out? And there was, it was like, if you had Snapchat, you were sending stuff.
That you shouldn't be sending because you can't see.
Yeah.
Well, Tinder was like ideally the app for like hookups. I don't know if it truly is because people use Tinder and like go on dates and stuff. But.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it started very much like Snapchat, where it was originally just like it's a hookup app. But then the more people know about it, the more people start using it, like gradually over time, it changes.
Yeah.
And I think now it's like, oh, yeah, I married my husband. We met on Tinder.
On Tinder, yeah.
Where in like 2014, 2015, it was like, yo, we just banged it out because we met on Tinder. You know what I mean?
Well, now on December 2nd, Grace's parents reached out to wish her a happy 22nd birthday. And as time went by, they didn't hear from their daughter and they grew worried. Sadly, they had no idea the devastation that was about to unravel. Now on December 5th, just 3 days after Grace's birthday, the Mullanes reported their daughter missing to the Auckland police. Initially, police felt they had no official evidence to suggest that Grace was missing, but they would be proven wrong. Authorities started their search at her hotel. They spoke with the front desk, who shared that Grace never returned to her room on the night of December 1st. Her room did not appear as if any foul play had occurred, but police now believe that Grace was no longer alive. 3 days later, on December 8th, Auckland police announced that Grace Mullane was dead, and detectives would rule it a homicide. They began tracing her last steps throughout the central business district of Auckland. Police followed Grace's steps and a male companion around multiple bars and restaurants. At 9 p.m. on December 1st, she was seen walking down Victoria Street with the young man. Again around 9:15, police followed the pair's steps to Sky City. And at 9:41 p.m., Grace was seen walking arm in arm with the same man into the City Life Hotel. The pair could be seen waiting on the elevator, but security footage never showed Grace leaving the hotel, and detectives now needed to know who this man was. Searching Grace's social media, they found that a man had commented on a photo from December 1st, the day that Grace would disappear. Now, I mentioned that she used to use Tinder to meet people during her travels, and through the app, she would meet 26-year-old Jesse Kempson. Jesse grew up in the Wellington region of New Zealand. His parents divorced when he was 9, and he was raised mostly by his father and grandfather as his mother moved with his brother to Australia. As he grew up, he was mostly estranged from his family. Jesse went to college where he played competitive intramural softball. He was just your average young adult trying to get by, working construction during the day and bartending at night. Now, detectives reached out to Jesse to set up an interview. He was very cooperative. He seemed well-mannered and willing to communicate with the police. Jesse told detectives that he did go on a date with Grace the night of December 1st. But according to his story, the pair had gone their separate ways around 9 p.m. And Jesse told police that the pair hadn't spoken since they parted ways. What Jesse didn't know is that police had watched the security footage. They knew he and Grace had taken the elevator to his third floor room. Jesse was seen leaving the following morning, but Grace never left the hotel. Police now knew that Jesse lied about his interaction with Grace that night, and this made him the prime suspect in the murder. Now, just a few days later, on December 8th, police arrested and charged Kempson with the murder of Grace. And the following day, December 9th, her body was found off a well-traveled scenic route just 12 miles west of Auckland. Now that Jesse was in custody, the police needed to know the exact story. Jesse claimed that the pair went up to his hotel room where Grace asked for rough sex. He said that during intercourse, he accidentally killed her while consensually choking her. However, once police began investigating his actions the day prior, the evidence would tell a very different story. They confiscated his cell phone and computer. On the morning of December 2nd, his Google searches showed the topics hot as fire and flesh-eating birds. There were also several visits to a porn website, and detectives even found 7 photos of Grace's deceased body placed in various poses. Once his name was out to the media, a witness came forward. She claimed that she met Jesse on Tinder and proceeded to have a date with him on December 2nd. She said while on the date, he told her an odd story about a man who asked his girlfriend to have rough sex and accidentally killed her. The woman found this weird and ended the date. Jesse's records also prove that he rented a carpet cleaner and bought a suitcase on the same day, December 2nd. Now police were curious. Again, they went back to the security footage. To their surprise, just 24 hours after Grace was last seen on the elevator, Jesse is seen pushing a bell cart with the newly purchased suitcase. Detectives knew this had to be involved. His credit card report continued to tell a story. On December 3rd at 6:15 a.m., Jesse stopped at a store to purchase a shovel. After that, he continued to drive out and buried Grace's body in the suitcase in a shallow grave near the scenic highway. Police now had the whole story, and Jesse was charged for the murder of Grace Mullane. The media brought international attention to the case, both in England and New Zealand. Multiple women gave statements to police and testified during the trial. Jesse Kempson pled not guilty to the disappearance and murder of Grace Mullane. The trial began on November 4th, 2019 and lasted for 5 long weeks. The prosecution argued that Kempson had strangled her to death during a date. They also argued that this was proven by the Google searches about how to dispose of bodies. Other evidence that pointed to his guilt were the multiple pictures taken of Grace's body post-mortem. Because of the media, several women testified that they too met Kempson through Tinder and that he was into bondage. In fact, one woman testified that she was raped by Kempson in his hotel room. She never reported the assault until media coverage made Jesse Kempson a household name. The autopsy report proved that Grace had died of asphyxiation. A forensic specialist took the stand and reported that Kempson would have had to apply significant pressure to her neck for about 5 minutes to fully kill her, proving that this was not an accident. Now, the defense claimed that Grace's death was the result of consensual intercourse between two young adults. They argued that Grace was too into bondage like Kempson, and that she had asked to be choked during a sexual game that went terribly wrong. The defense did acknowledge that their client tried to hide and bury her remains in a state of panic. After weeks of back and forth, the jury returned a guilty verdict on November 22nd, 2019. Now, John, since this takes place in New Zealand, Murder charges carry a mandatory life sentence with a minimum non-parole period of 10 years. But the judges can use their discretion beyond those 10 years. So it seems like that's just what everyone gets if they carry a murder charge.
Yeah, it's like the general rule of thumb. Like, if you murder someone, you're found guilty, you're getting your sentence, plus you're not eligible for 10 years, like, automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, as for Jesse Kempson, on February 21st, 2020, he was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum non-parole period of 17 years. And friends and family came together on January 10th, 2019 to celebrate the life of the young 22-year-old Grace Mullane in her hometown of Essex. In her honor, her family founded a charity called Love Grace. This organization works to help women affected by domestic violence. So that's this week's case, John. What you thinking?
Yeah, stuff like this is terrifying to me, and for a couple of different reasons. One, being a father, you know, and it's actually something that I've been talking about, you know, in couples therapy and stuff like that. Like, just part of the fear that you have when you have a kid is, like, you know, they have to have independence, and, you know, they have to have that independence to learn from their own mistakes and have their own experiences and things like that. But the idea that, you know, when my child is older, they're like, yeah, I'm going to go backpack and see the world, and, you know, you want to be supportive and everything like that. But, like, you have to be very aware that there is, you know, monsters that walk among us. You know what I mean? And so, like, as a parent, I think this is something that just absolutely terrifies me. And then there's also another level where this guy was like, yeah, we were just having, you know, rough sex and I accidentally killed her, which, you know, we've seen, was it David Carradine, I think it was, you know, he had died of asphyxiation by mistake, you know, doing something like that. But when that happens, you don't take 7 pictures. You don't pose the body. You don't look up how to destroy it while also looking up pornography. Like, it definitely seems like there was a sexual gratification element to this after the murder had occurred. And that is just super disturbing. Like, on a whole nother level. I mean, there's obviously a lot of things going on with this guy that just makes him a terrifying human being. And the fact that, like, he would go out on a date the next that same day.
Night. Yeah, like that night.
And is, like, recanting his tale and just being like, hey, look, you know, well, I heard this crazy story. Like, he's reliving it. You know what I mean? Like, and thankfully that woman was like, peace, I'm out. I can't do this. You know what I mean? But it's yeah. Awful. What about you? What were you thinking about it?
I mean, I just see myself in this girl, except for we're ages apart. But, you know, I travel alone sometimes and I'm single and I don't have Tinder, but I have dating apps and I'm very cautious of dating. And if I think about, if this was how you had to meet people back when I was 22 and I was able to, like, travel the world and spend 6 weeks in South America and then 2 more weeks in New Zealand as a 22-year-old, I mean, I could probably say that I would have probably got myself in some, probably not necessarily unsafe situations, but I probably would have put myself in risky situations at that age. And I just think of the safety factor now, being older and more wiser, I say. That's terrifying. Like, I just see that happening, you know, to myself. You want to meet people, you're traveling alone, you know, you're young, and you just meet somebody and you go on a date.
Well, I mean, I know, like, when I was in the band, you know, when I was younger and we were touring, you know, again, much younger man.
You had blue hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But I remember, you know, we'd be in the middle of some place that we weren't familiar with. And, like, you know, at that age, I was like, we need to find some weed. You know what I mean? And you end up
in some sketchy places. Yeah, I'm like, sure, John.
Sexual component completely taken out of it. Like, you end up in some situations where, like, ooh, I, like, probably should not be here. And then you look back at it later, like, oh man, like, I am really lucky that, like, nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that was, you know, well before there was any kind of, like, internet, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
So just thinking about all the ways that you can connect with people and how like predators can use those tools to, you know, do those things. I mean, I know you have dating apps and things like that. It does make me feel a little bit better that you're, you know, primarily on Farmers Only and, you know,
pretty much.
I don't think Jebediah is going to be like, what's going on?
There's not many farmers down here in New Orleans. It's quite sparse.
I'd love to take you on a ride on my tractor.
My big green tractor.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's just like, that's another element to this as well, where it's like, if you are somebody who's looking to hurt someone, like you can get online and just, you know, be like, hey, I'm a normal dude. Just want to take you out to dinner, you know, and it's
scary. There's a lot of rules you have to have as a, I say, anybody dating, I say as a woman, because I'm speaking from my experience, but there's a lot of rules that I have in place for myself. Number one, someone always knows that I'm going on a date. Number two, my friends and my family track my location 24/7. My location is not a secret to anybody that I'm close to. And number three, you don't have them pick you up and you don't have them drop you off and you don't go back to their house until you know them a little bit better. I mean, you just have to be smart about it, because you don't know who you're meeting. You're interacting on an app. You're texting back and forth. Usually they don't lead to like a phone call before you're like, hey, let's go meet up for a coffee or a beer or whatever.
Right.
So like, you just have to be very mindful of it. And I can just, you know, see my 22-year-old self just being like, you know, it's not going to happen to me. Haven't had that much life experience. You don't see the bad in the world. I'm just going to go hang out with this guy for one night while I'm celebrating my birthday in New Zealand. Life can't get any better, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, I think there's also an element of it too. Like when you're 22, you feel like you're invincible. Oh. Like I remember, like now at, you know, almost 40, like my mortality is very much in the front of my brain. But at like 21, 22, I was like, I'm
far from that.
Live forever, baby. Let's what are we doing? You know what I mean?
I'm middle-aged this year, I guess, by definition.
Yeah, I 40 in February, and I'm just
you're beyond middle age.
Yeah, so thank you. But it's just,
if we're
like,
going based off the average, average income, the average age,
the average income. Yeah, it's the average lifespan. But it's just, you know, like you don't think about it, and you're willing to put yourself in those situations because you don't think anything bad is going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, you know, like I said, I feel terrible for the family and like for friends, and it's, you know, it's just got to be so hard, and to lose a child and to be that far away. You know what I mean? Like, because like, what can you do? You have to feel absolutely just powerless.
Like, just like Natalie Holloway, you know?
Yeah.
Same concept.
She's missing. Now I got to get on an international flight, and you know what I mean? Like,
find my way around this place, figure out how the politics work and the law and all the things. And it's just a scary, it's just scary. I say that all the time. It's a scary world out there.
I know. And like, you just gotta take those steps. Like you said, like you were running the other day and sent me a picture of like, hey, I'm running by some train tracks. If you don't hear from me, boxcar killer, you know what I mean? Every once in a while, I'll get those from you, and I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I know where you're at. But it's,
this one was at least in the middle of the day.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, you got to be safe. You know, Kara and I share our locations with each other. Mm-hmm. If anything were to ever happen, like, we know where we are. And, you know, it's just, you got to take precautions, is all I'm saying.
Well, if we're thinking deadbolt test, what are you think? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm putting this one at a 9. For sure. And I think when Millie is like 18, 19 and just like wanting to do all these things, yeah, it'll be a 20 for sure. But yeah, definitely a 9. What about you?
John, I just hope that we're still friends whenever Millie's a teenager, because I just can't wait to like reflect on all the things we've talked about. And you're like, she's just being a 17-year-old. But anyways,
no, I'm, we'll definitely be friends. What are you doing?
Check the Locks will be huge by then, right? Yeah.
I'm not your friend anymore. No, we'll still be friends. But yeah, it's, you know, that's another thing that's crazy to think about too, is like how fast, and again, thinking about like, you know, from a parent's point of view, like, I'm sure a big thing of that is like, that's my baby. And it feels like just yesterday, she just got into the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like, I think about that with her now, where I'm like, oh man, like, it feels like if I close my eyes, it feels like yesterday, like, you know, I was holding you in my arms like a little, you know, potato. And now you're this, you know, person with sass and your things that you're into, you know? So like to be a parent and to go through and to experience that. And then to suddenly like, you're not supposed to know how your children's story ends. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if everything plays out the way it's supposed to,
you're supposed to die before your children.
Right. And I can imagine when that is not the way that it goes, it is like absolutely devastating.
Mm-hmm. But well, it's a 10 for me. And I think I did all my explanations. Single gal dating on dating apps. It's a scary world.
Yeah. You got to be careful next time you go to Mexico or something like that. Be like, I'm sharing my location. I'm, you know, you got to be.
My next international trip is with mom.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, make sure your mom's sharing her location. I know.
Oh, I got it. I got it. I got you tabs on Trish.
Yeah. She's like, different zip code, baby. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Trish. I know you listen. I'm just joking. But. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia's giving it a 10. I'm coming in at a 9. But as always, we got to turn it over to the locksmiths, the listeners. Where does the murder of Grace Mullane fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, well, what the heck are you doing? We're just a few members short of 800. So we've been watching this grow. I've been waiting for that 800th member to hit. We're just a few people away. We would love to have you come out, hang out with us. And who knows, maybe the next one we're looking at is like 1,500, 1,600 people. So come hang out with us. Get to spend some time with you. It really means a lot. Olivia, this case was crazy, and unlike our last one, I think you have a palate cleanser for us this week. What do you think? You got a 5-star review?
Somebody listened to last week's episode, and yes, I have a 5-star review that comes from Jess Farbs, and they said, definitely one of the pods I listen to every week and look forward to. I love the fun banter that John and Olivia have and the cases that are interesting but not the same as all the other ones out there. So thank you, Jess Farbs, F-A-R-B-S, Farbs, for your 5-star review.
Yes, Jess, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that review. You know, we talk about it all the time, but they help us so much, right? They get us into other shows' recommendations. They help new listeners find the show. And it really does help so much, that word of mouth. So the fact that you took the time, left that review, it means the world to us. We would love to send you some goodies. We got stickers, all sorts of stuff we can get out to you. Hit us up again. You can reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod, on Twitter at Check the Locks, or if you're in our Facebook group, send me a DM. Let me know. We'll get everything sent out to you right away. But we truly, truly, truly appreciate it. And Olivia, if somebody wants to have their 5-star review read on the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 stars. I'm not going to call them purple stars this week.
Click them purple stars.
Click all 5 of those purple stars or whatever color they are on your screen and leave us a little bit of love and tell us what you think.
Yeah, that's right. Olivia says it best, so I don't have to. Apple Podcast, click the stars, leave the review. We just want to hear what you think, what you like. And if you need, there is a cheat code, a link in the description to the episode that you're listening to now. Hit it. Apple Podcast. You're all set. Good to go. Also, if you don't listen on Apple Podcast, we love to read Spotify comments. We love to read email comments. So any way you want to reach out to us, we would love to hear from you.
And voicemails. We love voicemails.
Yes. Voicemails as well. And you can leave us a voicemail at checkthelockspod.com. Click that voicemail button. We'd love to hear your voice. And as always, if you like the show, you want to help financially support us, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, all sorts of stuff you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on. Want to throw us a few bones? That is patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't support the show financially, we definitely understand. Just hanging out with us every week, sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're listening to the pod and you were telling other people to check it out, just know that that helps us so much. Again, it's that word of mouth, right? It's letting people know to check it out. That's going to bring in new listeners, help us to grow our community. And the best way to do that is by you telling people to listen. So if you're hanging out with us, send those links to the people that you care about. Just know that we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Logs in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with a brand new, truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the logs.
See you next week.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.